For an India tiger safari, reporter Kristen Henning suggests a visit to Madhya Pradesh in the heart of India. It's heavily forested, and this state offers relatively clean air, wonderful cuisine based on locally grown produce, and some close-up opportunities to meet local people and appreciate their crafts and daily routines. With luck and some good guides, you'll enjoy a tiger sighting too. But that's just a piece of the Madhya Pradesh story, as she explains to Graham Kemlow.
Kristen's been in India, and she didn't go there for a hot curry. She doesn't lack one of those back in the US, but she did have an interesting experience. So welcome back to the show, Chris.
Thanks very much.
Now, you went to Madhya Pradesh. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Madhya Pradesh is a very large central state of India.
Okay, and you were there principally on safari.
Yes, the Madhya Pradesh has been really active in promoting tourism, and it happens to be the Rudyard Kipling center of India, the part of India that has several national parks and sanctuaries and tiger reserves. And so they are beginning to carefully promote tourism to that area, knowing full well that they've got some precious territory to protect.
Yeah, I bet. Now, a lot of people think that tigers come from Africa and everything big comes from Africa, but that's not true. So you had some encounters with tigers? Did you succeed in seeing something?
This area of India has the world's largest population of tigers, the Bengal tigers. And there is enough land, however, that it's not... people I was traveling with were quick to point out this is nothing like an African safari. You're not going to see vast herds of animals. So it's a very selective area with that's 20% of which the national parks are open to tourists. And in that 20% that's open to tourists, you know, on a given day, you may or may not see a tiger.
Right.
We were lucky.
Yeah, well, look, I think anyone looking for animals anywhere is probably a bit lucky these days. There might be too many tourists and too few animals.
That's right.
But how big were the tigers that you saw? Are they huge animals or?
They are big. They are. I think the mother was maybe 600 pounds. What would that be? You know, close to 200 kilos.
Nearly 300 kilos maybe. And how long would they be? What, 6 foot long?
Yes, I would say so, not counting the tail. From head to a tail would maybe be eight feet.
Okay.
So they're big. And we were lucky enough to see a mother and three cubs.
Wow.
We spotted the mother first. She was... seeking out her cubs, and those of us who were in the right spot were able to see her three cubs come out of some far brush, and we were expecting cute little cubs, as our guides was telling us that that's what was happening, and out come these nearly full-grown three-year-old tiger cubs who are about to go out on their own. 3 years would be about the time that they leave their mother.
And good luck.
It was, quite the scene. As she called to them, they needed to cross a road, and the jeeps were on either side from those guides who had gathered around to witness this. And one of them was a little skittish about crossing the road and wanted to show off a little bit, and two others just gently went across and joined their mother.
And was there any sort of noise? Was she calling to them? Or?
She was. It was first really subtle. I barely heard it. And then it was a growl, not a roar.
Right. So not a lion sound.
Yeah, a little bit more than a meow. But, you know, it was definitely a cat sound, not a roar.
And were they at all concerned about the tourists in the jeeps?
The mother crossed totally nonchalantly between two jeeps I was just dumbfounded. It was so close that those with telephoto lenses were out of luck. They couldn't adjust
it was too close.
Quite enough.
Wow.
Yes, they were too close. And the Cubs, however, were cautious, and it was quite an incident, because one of them, who our guide had told us was nicknamed Charger, did this little lunge and growl in either direction towards the Jeeps before he then crossed the road. So he really scared some people. We were close, but our guide was excellent and had told us what the behavior was going to be like, and so we didn't feel at all threatened. But quite honestly, you're in the wild and you're in an open Jeep, and there were enough Jeeps around then that it was a little dicey. Some of the Jeeps were sort of jockeying for position, and that was one of the uglier moments, I think,
yeah,
of the safari. But in general, it's just really really knowledgeable guides who are using tracking sounds as an animal would. They hear the deer calling, they hear the langur monkeys calling, and from that and their experience, they're guessing where the tiger is and what direction it's moving.
Yeah.
So they're really using their instincts too. It was fascinating. We used we visited three different national parks, and in we saw tigers in one, and in an afternoon safari we saw the leopard in the same national park, which is totally unbelievable. And in a third park, which is by the Denoir River, they actually allow walking safaris. That is not a park that has tigers so much as bird watching, and then that you could do canoeing on the river as well to get up close to other wildlife.
Wow. Okay. That sounds good. Now, that wasn't the only thing you did there in India, though. Bhopal is an area that you visited. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and I was totally surprised by Bhopal. Of course, people talk about Delhi and the intense crowds and all of that. And our experience in the whole state of Madhya Pradesh was quite different from that. And Bhopal specifically is a historic town. You can visit a palace. A highlight for me was the tribal museum. I went there partly to cover some of the arts and crafts of the area. And this museum is wonderful, part natural history museum, part anthropology museum, and part art museum, really documenting the homes and everyday lives and crafts of the local tribes.
Okay, so that was a bonus, you think, eh?
Yeah. And Bhopal also has a couple of lakes. It's a pretty scenic town and walkable.
Okay. Now, I guess while you've been over there, I have to ask you about the food. What did you enjoy in India?
Oh, I loved all of the food. We were often served because of the group. Well, I'll go back to the lodges we stayed at, Pogdundi lodges. We stayed at in the three parks. They are a wonderful outfit, led our safaris as well. So most people stay with them in one or more of their lodges for maybe 3 to 5 nights so that they're sure of seeing a tiger. They have their own kitchen gardens. They have their own executive chef named Michael Swami, who has written great cookbooks of Indian cooking, home cooking. And he met with us and did a demonstration using the produce from that lodge's own kitchen garden.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all wonderful. I do like spicy curries. People I was traveling with were from all over the world, and so some were able to avoid that if they wanted to. I just pretty much took everything as it went, and I drank a lot of chai.
I bet you did. I bet you did. Obviously, you weren't eating meat over there. It would have mostly been vegetarian food, right?
It was generally, no matter what kind of place we were in, there were vegetarian options and there were options with chicken usually.
Right.
So I really preferred the vegetarian rather quickly. I got tired of chicken. I do eat meat, but we had lamb on a couple of occasions.
Okay.
that would be at a fancier kind of place. And but even the variations in which they make rice, celebratory rice as opposed to everyday rice, was just fascinating. And every meal in true Indian style fashion was served with multiple dishes, so generally at least four or five different types of courses, all served at once. Always a lentil dish, a gravy sort of for the rice. They eat it as a gravy. I love it just separately without the rice. Lentils and a vegetable dish and a chicken dish and a rice dish and maybe another spinach dish.
You sound well fed.
As I did gain a couple of pounds there.
It's an occupational hazard in our business, I think.
Yes, it is.
Well, Chris, great to hear from you again and to learn a little bit more about India. I think it's opening itself up very much to the world. We've got a lot to learn because they've been doing it over there for a lot of years.
That's right.
So where are you off to next?
Well, we're going to, surprisingly, it wasn't a last-minute plan. We're going to Vietnam and Cambodia.
Oh, well, I'll be interested to hear your perspective on which part of Vietnam, the north or the south?
Yes, we're spending most of our time based in Hanoi. A family member has business there, and so we're going with family for the first 2 weeks. And then we're working with AMA Waterways and doing a river cruise from Siem Reap in Cambodia is where we're starting, and then picking up the Mekong River back to Ho Chi Minh City.
Okay, great. Have you been to Hanoi before?
Yes, it has been a few years, and we loved it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to going back.
So you know about crossing the road?
Yes, my trick, I find a old lady, older than I, and I use her as my protection.
Yeah.
I just follow her across the street.
Well, I had men taking my hand. Yeah, that's great. Anyway, Chris, thanks very much for talking to us, and we look forward to hearing from you again shortly.
All right, thank you.
That was Kristen Henning on her tiger safari visit to Madhya Pradesh state in India.